You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Our scripture reading today is going to be in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And Father God, we just want to ask that you take this reading and mark it for your purpose and for your glory. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Good morning. Got your Bibles? We're going to do a little Bible aerobics this morning. I hope not so much that I leave you in the dust, but something that you'll be able to take away with you and say, you know, there is something I learned about Scripture today that I'm going to apply to my life. If you could do that every day. You know, talk to the men that come to the Bible studies and tell them that Proverbs is such a wonderful book, and there's 31 chapters. You could read one chapter a day. You don't have to learn the whole chapter. But if you could learn one thing out of that chapter, one thing, and take with you the rest of that day and concentrate on it, that reveals Christ. Yeah, that is really the reason we come today. Christ. That's the purpose of our life. He is our life. He has shown us who know Him the real life. And so if you could take one thing out of Proverbs that would reveal to you something about Him, who He is and what He has done, it's better than an apple a day that keeps the doctor away. This is the type of medicine that keeps sin and the devil away. Now, you may not care about that because there's sin in your life and you kind of like it. You ever had sin in your life and you kind of liked it? That's a tough confession. Nobody likes to talk about the things that they've done wrong. You know, I've been 5 years I've served on the Oklahoma Real Estate Appraisers Board, and my last meeting was Friday. And so I go off, my 5-year term appointed by the governor is over. But we had a license application come before the board who had been charged with a felony, check forgery, back in 1990. And when you fill out an application for a license to be an appraiser, you have to answer that question. Have you ever been convicted of a felony, pled guilty to a felony, or nolo contender to a felony? And she had checkmarked no. And I understand that. She did her 4 years of probation. She pled guilty. The court deferred her sentence for 4 years on probation. After the 4 years, the case was dismissed. And so in her mind, dismissed thought like it never happened. But it did happen. And she has to address that issue on the application, because it's specific. Have you ever pled guilty to a felony? I understand that. There are a lot of things in my life I don't want to go back and rehash or remind myself of. But sin does that. Sin will remind you that you're not perfect, that you got flaws, you've got spots in your life. And the devil wants to keep you from doing the things that God wants you to do, and he'll bring those sins up. None of us are perfect. None of us. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't let sin neutralize you. Don't let the devil have his way. You know, God says that he receives and accepts the humble, but he resists the proud. If you're going to resist anything, he tells us in James, resist who? The devil. And you don't forget who you are in Christ. and what God did for you in order to allow you to be in Him, so that when God looks at you, He doesn't look at a sinful person. He looks at His Son Christ, who paid your sin debt. You have had that charge against you dismissed. And as far as your account with God, as far as that reckoning with God is to be considered, it is far from you as the east is from the west. He says it has been placed in the deepest part of the ocean, never again to be remembered. Hallelujah. Praise God. My sins have been forgiven. And that's what Christ has done. And that's why when you go to Proverbs and you want to spend a little time each day in the Word, you learn something about Him, because He's the one who loved you and gave His life for you. He's the one who paid your sin debt. And He is the one in whom you are that the Father sees. He doesn't see you. You're not worthy of it. There's not a thing you can do that's ever going to earn the merit and the love of God. Nothing can be done in the flesh that's going to be acceptable to Him. It's already been done. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's about a relationship with a man who gave his life for you so that you could have eternal life with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and that it does show us who Christ is. And we take that word, Father, and we walk by faith. And then it's that faith, Lord, that is the challenge. It's being able to apply the things that you've given us and learn from them how faithful you are and how trustworthy you are. And Lord, then our faith grows and grows and grows, and we learn more about Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We want to live our life so that we please Him and seek not to please the world, because the world will never be pleased. The world will never be satisfied. That's such a hard lesson for us, Lord. Help us to learn it the first time. We thank you, Father, for your great love and your mercy that endures forever. We thank you for these graces in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking in Romans about my gospel. We've been looking for the last couple of months at these Acts period epistles, APE, Acts period epistles, and why have everybody gone ape? Why has everybody gone ape? They go after the Acts period epistles. We looked at that because it gives them power and it gives them glory and it magnifies who they are instead of really magnifying who Christ is, because it takes things out of a dispensational period. And last week we looked at one aspect of this, verse 25. If you're there in Romans 16, verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. We looked at some of the aspects of my gospel. And one of the most important things we learned was that it involves forgiveness. It involves the fact that man has sinned and is separated from God. And we looked at the Roman road. Here in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The wages of sin. In Romans 6, verse 23. Let's go back and look at those. In 3:23, if you don't have this marked in your Bible, you need to mark it. And you need to mark it today, and you need to mark it bold and plain and right. God's word here is not wavering. He doesn't say some have sinned. He doesn't say most have sinned. In chapter 3, verse 23, he says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And see, what Paul is trying to teach the Jews here is that not only are the Jews sinners, but guess who else? It's Gentiles that have sinned too. Sin enters the world, he goes over in chapter 5. Look at this, in chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon Jews? No. Gentiles? No. Some men? No. Most men? No. All men. So that's part of my gospel. That's what Paul's trying to teach here, that all men need to be saved. You need to be saved. And if you're God's child and there's sin in your life, you need to resist the devil. You need to flee from sin. We're going to look at that in just a little bit, because the nation of Israel, you know, God has rewards for those who are faithful. God has rewards for those that are faithful. Paul says in the last book he wrote, 2 Timothy, he says, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've kept my course, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, and now there's a crown laid up for me, the crown of righteousness. God has a reward for those that are faithful. And it's all based on faithfulness. It's not based on what you hope or what you wish or what you think. It's based on the Word of God and your faithfulness to it. Noah had that. God told Noah, there's going to be a flood. I want you to build an ark. Had no idea what a flood and an ark had to do with any of this, but God told him to do it. He believed God. It was a faith that comes from hearing that motivated Moses to build the ark, and it was the ark then that saved him and his family. It was his response to the call. In Romans chapter 6, we see that all have sinned. We see that sin came in, death is a result of sin, and that's passed on all of us. There's not one of us that gets out of this world alive. But God's redemption is in chapter 6. Look there, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's that gift every one of us needs. That's that gift that Christmas is such a picture of, you know? And we kind of cloud that idea with the trees and the ornaments and then the gift giving. But the gift of Christmas, the real gift of Christmas, is Christ Himself. God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You think this life is a long life, and the younger you are, the longer you think it is. But the older you get, the quicker it goes. Kathy started these character studies a year ago. It just seems like a couple of months ago that we began these, but we've gone 12 months, a whole year. You know, Josiah asked Aaron to be his wife on New Year's Day. That seems like a long time ago, but now, look. We're under 2 weeks. The wedding is less than 2 weeks away. Oh, how time passes. How time passes. And in the scope of all eternity, now think about it. Think about all eternity, if you could. Our finite minds can't grasp that, but you think about all eternity, and this little life that we live here is so short. It's what James calls a vapor on a cold day. You know, you go, and you see your breath come out, and then it just vanishes. It's there for a moment, and it's gone. And then the rest of eternity is based upon that decision that you make about who is Jesus. My gospel. Come back to chapter 16 of Romans. So we see that the forgiveness of sin, but the fact that sin brought death and death has passed upon all men and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we see that that's part of my gospel. Paul is trying to reach out to these Jews who think that they are the apple of God's eye, and they are. But it is their responsibility to turn to Him so then that the nations of the earth can turn to God. That's what he says in verse 26. But now, follow this, but now, it's made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. What is this that is now being made manifest and being made known? Well, he tells you in the last part of verse 25, it's something that was a secret. It's something that was a mystery. It's something that's been a mystery and a secret since the world began. Does that mean that nobody knows anything about it? No. That idea of secret, this is the only place that this Greek word is translated secret. In other places, it's translated silence. It's silence. For instance, turn over to a couple of pages back to the left to Acts chapter 15. What I hope to show you today is that this responsibility God gave to the Jew to
to evangelize the whole world so that the nations then would be obedient to the faith that God gave the Jew to follow and the nations following it too, is the prerequisite that must be followed for them to attain the reward, the gift, the prize that they seek. If you missed Sunday school, you missed Clark did a good overview. The Old Testament, the rejection of the Father, the Gospels, the rejection of the Son, the Acts period, the rejection of the Holy Spirit. And because of that rejection, Israel as a nation has been set aside. They have not enjoyed. That's why the first question in Acts chapter 1 is, well, thou at this time, these fellows have spent 40 days with a risen Savior. He has taught them everything pertaining to the kingdom of God. And they have one question they ask. Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They haven't got it, have they? They haven't got it because they were not faithful. And we're going to look at some of that unfaithfulness. You're going to be able to apply it to your life because God calls us to be faithful today. We won't get the reward if we're not faithful today. Doesn't have a thing to do with your salvation. Don't forget that. Salvation is in Christ. He paid that penalty. You receive Him and you believe on Him and that secures your salvation. But the reward comes from faithfulness. In Acts chapter 15, verse 12, this idea, this a mystery which was kept secret. Mac used to call it hushed up. Hushed up. But it's the word that is translated silent or silence everywhere else. Here in chapter 15, verse 12, after the recounting of what God did with Cornelius, Peter says in verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we Jews shall be saved even as they, Gentile. Verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence. That's that word, secret. But it doesn't have that connotation of being secret. I don't know why the translators translated it at that time in Romans 16. 25, as secret. It's the only time in the Scripture it's translated secret. Every other time the word's used, it's either silent or silence. It doesn't have that idea of something that is nobody knows about. Just you and me. We're the only ones. Because certainly the things that Paul talks about have not been kept silent. They haven't been kept a secret. We looked at that last week. It was always in God's plan. Remember in Isaiah 42:6, it was always in God's plan that His Savior would be a light unto the Gentiles. In Isaiah 49:6, that He would be a light unto the nations. In Deuteronomy 32, in the Song of Moses, we saw that God was going to use the nations to provoke Israel to jealousy, even as they provoked Him to jealousy. Is this all making sense? Now, I don't want to hurry, but there's a lot to cover here. Remember these things. It's important for us to know. Turn over to Luke chapter 9. Let's look at the Word one more time. In Luke chapter 9, we see this Word once again. No, I take it back. Now, this is what Mac used to teach in verse 21. The word doesn't appear here, but it's the same idea. Okay? It's the same idea of being hushed up. And this is where he uses example. Verse 21, Peter confessed, who is Jesus? Who do you say that I am? The question is asked. Who do you say that I am? Verse 20. He, Jesus, said unto them, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, Messiah, the Christ of God. That's who He is. Who is He? Who is He in your life? We can take a moment, go a little side trail here. We're not going to stay with a dispensational study. It's a practical look at it. Who is He? Is He everything that He is to you? If He is, then there's nothing more than you need. If you need something besides God, if you need God and money, if you need God and power and God and position or God and fame, you've got to add something to it because you're not satisfied, then Jesus isn't everything that He is to you. And that's what he's asking Peter. He says, Peter, who am I? Am I everything to you? Who is everything to Peter? Messiah. And that's what he's asking. Am I everything to you? Who am I? And Peter said, Christ, you are Messiah. And see, to Israel, Messiah was everything. He embodied the fullness of the promises of God to the fathers. He embodied everything that was going to be given to Israel. The kingdom here on earth. And in verse 21, Jesus strictly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. That's that idea. Hushed up. It was hushed up. Come back to Romans chapter 16. This is that which Paul says, but now, in verse 26, is made manifest. This is that thing that he says is now made manifest. This idea that God had planned to have a Savior who not only would redeem the nation Israel, but would be a redeemer for all of mankind. But first, Israel had to respond. First, Israel had to receive Him as Messiah. First, Israel had to become what God had promised them to become, and they will become. That was a peculiar nation. See, that was their responsibility. Verse 25, now is made manifest by the Scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. What was this that was now being made manifest, which was already part of the prophecies, which was the commandment of the everlasting God? What is it? It was the aspect of faithfulness. It was the requirement of Israel to be found faithful in what they did. Trusting not in power and not in money and not in prestige and position, but only in God. And Him alone. Well, they got off to a rocky start, didn't they? Because Abraham didn't even do it. And he was the first. Abraham was the first Jew. The first one set apart by the call of God. Did he wait for the promise of God when God said, I'll give you a seed, an heir? Did he wait? No. And that poor nation has been dealing with his unfaithfulness ever since. But God is faithful. He continued to walk the nation Israel in that way that they should go. It was a difficult time and hardships followed. They ended up in Egypt. For how long? 400 years? Yeah, you think your life is long and you think of that. 400 years the nation was in Egypt. Until Moses delivered them. See, that's the whole story of the nation Israel. That they go through this cycle of the four R's. You know the four R's? You know, there's rebellion. And then there's, what is it when God strikes them down? What's that called? Retribution. And then after retribution, you know, in your life, that's when you get your little spanking. What do? You repent. Oh, I'm sorry. So we have rebellion. We have the consequences of rebellion, retribution. And then we have the consequences of retribution. We have repentance. And then we have what? The glory of it, their restoration. And see, that's what God wants to do in your life and my life when we go through those four stages. But the nation Israel is a picture of that kind of rebellion, retribution, repentance, and restoration. But then after the restoration, they go right back to rebellion. They're a stiff-necked and rebellious people, he says, because they don't operate out of faith. See, the whole thing behind this in verse 26 is that to the nations, the obedience of faith. That's what God called into. Look, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy begins with a survey of the history of Israel. Moses recounts all the things that took place. Then he enlarges upon some of the basic laws of the preceding books that we encountered. And then he concludes with a series of prophetic prophecies concerning the history of Israel down to their final return to Palestine. The title of this book, Deuteronomy, is from the Septuagint, and it means the second law. The second law. Interesting to note that this book is quoted over 80 times in the New Testament. And it is the book that is quoted more than any other book out of the Old Testament by our Lord. This book. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, God talking about the statutes and the ordinances and the commandments in verse 6, he says, "Now keep them." You there? "Keep them. Therefore, and do them, for this is your wisdom, and this is your understanding." Now, who's he talking to here? He's talking to the nation Israel. You remember, he pulled them out of Egypt. He showed his mightiness by bringing them out of the nation of Egypt and brought them to that mountain where he gave them these commandments, these Ten Commandments. This is their wisdom and their understanding. This is our wisdom and our understanding. And you don't want to follow this. If you don't want to obey the Word of God, then you will have to deal with the retribution that follows. And guaranteed, there will be repentance. And you could save yourself that R and R in the middle and just go right to restoration if you'll be obedient and not be rebellious. You do the right thing. You know how people learn? They either learn by watching somebody's example, or they learn by reading it somewhere in a book, and then there's the rest of us that just have to reach out and touch the paint. God wants you to learn by reading it in a book and watching someone's example. He doesn't want you to reach out and touch the paint. The nation Israel has been set aside by God to reveal who God is. Look at the rest of this verse. "This is your wisdom, and this is your understanding in the sight of the nations." This is what they got, that God called them to do. This is what they were to be faithful to. "The nations shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation," the nation Israel, "is a wise and understanding people." It was to them God gave the responsibility. They were His conduit of all these wonderful, magnificent commandments. These laws, these ordinances, these statutes, that if they would follow them, guess who else would follow them? The nations. That's what God's plan and purpose was. Israel was to be the light unto all the world as who God is. He chose them and set them aside, beginning with Abraham. And they were stiff-necked and rebellious. Turn over to chapter 9. Here in chapter 9, Moses is recounting what took place. And he reminds them it was because they were sinful at the mountain. Remember, Moses took 40 days to get the tablets, and while he was up there, they began to murmur. Aaron was down there with all the rest of the nation Israel that had come out of Egypt, and they began to whine about what they were doing out here in the desert at this mountain. And where is Moses? And he's left us alone, and now we don't have anything to eat, and we don't have anything to drink, and we don't have anybody to watch over us. Let's build us a calf. Remember the golden calf? You ever built a golden calf in your life? You know, your little nest egg? The one thing that you put more faith in than you do in God? It could be a person. It could be a possession. It could be a status symbol, being on a board or being a president of a company, or it could be a quarterback on the football team, something that'll die with the dust and be gone with the next blow of the air. Not anything permanent. So that's what they created. They created this golden calf. And Moses said in verse 21 of chapter 9, he says, "I took your sin, that calf which you made, And let me tell you something, God's going to take your sin, whatever it is, if you're His child, and He's going to rid that out of your life, and you can do it one of two ways. You can just lay it out there at the cross, or you can cling to it, and He's going to pry it out of your hands, and it's not going to be fun. Let me tell you, it's not going to be fun. There'll be so much heartache and pain doing the right thing. Moses says, I took your sin, that calf which you made, I burned it with fire and I stamped it out and I ground it into a very small dust. Over in chapter 32, he tells us that he poured it in the brook where they drank and he made them drink it. That's sickening. In verse 22, and he says that Tabor and Massa and Kibroth Hattaavah, you provoked the Lord to wrath. See, everywhere they went, they were stiff-necked and rebellious. Back up to verse 7, same chapter. He says, remember and forget not how thou provoked the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day. Remember I told you this was a recount of that, those things that took place, and here he's just going over the history, and here's a survey of it. He says, remember when you provoked the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou departed out of the land of Egypt until you came unto this place? You've been rebellious against the Lord. You know, rebellion. You know what the product of rebellion is? It's divorce. It's adultery. It's drug addiction. It's pregnancies out of wedlock. It's being fired from your job. It's having your light and gas and your phone bills mount up so that they cut off your light and your gas and your phone bill, your phone. It's all those things. It's just being rebellious. I'm going to do things my way. In verse 23, likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go in and possess the land. We don't have time right now to go back and look at these, each of these instances. Let me tell you though, that in each of these instances, when he talks about Tabor and Massa and Kibroth Hattaavah and Kadesh Barnea, when he talks about each one of those, and you know, those are times when they rebelled, they argued, you know, said, oh, we're sick of this manna, give us the meat. And he gave them the quail, and the quail was in their teeth, and it was disgusting, and he began to strike them down because of their rebelliousness. They got retribution, and they repented, and he restored them. The other time was at the rock at Massa, and they camped at Rephidim, and they argued and tested the Lord. And Moses said, "What are you murmuring against me for? Why are you striving against me? Strife is such a sure sign of the devil. If there's strife in your life, if you're just not getting your way, you're going to have strife. If you're not happy about what God has done for you, you're going to have strife. The first time you feel strife in your life, you need to stomp on it, because That's the devil in you. You're following the wrong master. You young kids, listen to me. Listen. Don't strive. God calls you to be obedient to your parents. God calls you to be obedient to authority. Don't strive against authority and the things that they lay down for you to follow. It's for your good. Just like the things that God laid down for the nation of Israel, it was for their good. I've gone a long way aside from this idea of this dispensational study of Romans and the Acts period, and gone more into a practical, but this is so critical for us to understand. Faith obedience is what God calls us to. And when he brought them to Kadesh Barnea, he said, this is the promised land, full of milk and honey. You can go into it. Here is your reward. Here is the gift, the prize that I have established for you. And they sent 12 spies in, and 2 came back with a report, and 10 didn't. And they followed the 10. They didn't have the faith in God. There's an issue in your life right now, and you're trying to deal with it. And you don't know which way to turn because you want your way, but God has another way for you to go. Go God's way. When the disciple came to Christ and said, "What must I do?" He said, "You need to deny yourself and pick up your cross, and you need to follow me every other day." Now, every day, follow me. That's faith obedience. See, God's given that to us. Hey, turn over to 1 Corinthians. Look, Paul kind of wraps this up real quick. I'm going to wrap it up with this in another passage, and we're going to look at it real quick, and I hope it makes sense to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 24, Paul says, "Know ye." Know. See, the things that you know that you ignore are the ones that get you in trouble. You know this. "Know ye not that they who run in a race all run?" Everybody runs. "But one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain." Obtain that prize. "Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things." You've got to be temperate. You can't go out and eat 12 donuts and then go try to run a 2-mile race. You can't stay up the night before and go play a football game that next morning. You've got to be temperate. You have to bring yourself under the control of God. "Everyone that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." What is it they receive? They receive the flowers at the end of the race, or the $25,000 check, or they get to go on ESPN. See, they do it for a corruptible crown. But what's Paul say here? He says, "We do it for an incorruptible crown." That's the prize. That's the thing that we're looking forward to. That's what we want. Verse 1 of chapter 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." A little bit of a dispensational look here. He's bringing us back and saying, hey, this book right here is written to who? Jews. Jews understand Corinthians. He says, "All," verse 2, "and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea." These are the fathers, he said. He says, "They did all eat the same spiritual food." That's that manna we talked about. "They all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." That rock was Christ. That's when he hits that rock and that water comes out. "But," verse 5, "with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it's written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us put Christ to the test as some of them also tested him and destroyed by the serpents." These are the situations that we just talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 9, those locations, those Taberah and Massah. And I'm not going to pronounce that third one without looking at it. And Kadesh Barnea. God didn't just give Israel, though, something to be obedient to. He didn't give them the faith and no one else. When God set them aside, he gave us something to be faithful to and something to obtain. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. And remember, this has nothing to do with salvation. Your salvation is sealed in Christ. But the rewards of God are laid out for those who are faithful. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 11, "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection out from the dead, not as though I had already attained this, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I have been apprehended by Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended this, but this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for what? The prize." See, that's the reward. That's the reward. And it's the prize of the calling up on high. It says high calling, but the better translation is the calling up on high, so that you have that reference point in the heavenlies where God has called us. And every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ Jesus. The admonition is not to lose sight of the prize, and don't let those who would take you off the course, walking the path of faithfulness into something that doesn't belong to you and losing that reward. He says, beware of those who would rob you, over in Colossians. Beware of those who would rob you of your reward. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Again, Lord, how bright it shines and how challenging it is to young and old alike, male, female, boy, girl, doesn't matter. The word is what challenges. And Father, in our hearts, we know that when we don't get into the word, it's because sin is separating us from you. We don't want to be challenged. We'd rather be in the darkness than in your light. But Lord, when we see that light, when we see that glimmer, oh, to know how gracious you are, and how merciful you are, and how kind you are. Nobody compares with that. May you be the bread that we eat, the water that we drink, the life that we live. And Father, may that life reflect so that others might see it. This we pray in the name of your Son and our Savior, in the name of Him who loved us and gave His life for us. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.